In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated. Well, it is good to be with you on this summer Sunday, this day where the Red Sox have taken 3 out of 3 of the last games against the Yankees. Right, Dan? It's a good day in Boston. And it's a good day because we gather on the far side of Vacation Bible School, having welcomed children and families into our midst, talking about the love and the goodness of God. And it's a good day because today we hear these words of Holy Scripture, arguably some of the best well-known words of Jesus as he teaches us the Lord's Prayer, a prayer which shows up every Sunday, week after week, a prayer that shows up in every single prayer service that exists within the Episcopal Church, a day where we hear Jesus teach us how to connect with, hear, and respond to God. Clearly, this prayer that Jesus teaches us matters. It stands at the heart of our worship. It stands at the heart of our lives. And it all comes to us because one of the disciples watched Jesus praying and saw such connection, such peace, and such communion between Jesus and his heavenly Father that that disciple said, "Lord, teach us to pray." And immediately, Jesus teaches. This is the relational nature of God who responds to our request. Now, it's interesting as Jesus begins to teach us to pray, he seems to get the prayer wrong. I don't know if you noticed that. Maybe he didn't grow up as a good Episcopalian or something, but he doesn't even get the first word right. He forgets "our," and he just jumps straight to the word "Father." "Hallowed be your name." "Excuse me, Lord, it's thy name. I've heard it from my congregation. I know we don't say your when we're talking in the Lord's Prayer." Jesus continues to mess it up. "Your kingdom come." "No, it's thy kingdom come, Lord." And then he doesn't mention anything about any of the other little pieces. He jumps straight into, "Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive everyone indebted to us." He forgot about trespasses. I'm not sure what's going on. And then he ends with, "And do not bring us to the time of trial." I mean, we can recognize this prayer, right? You know this is the Lord's Prayer, but it's not the one you learned in Sunday school, is it? And it's a good reminder for us that when we pray, the exact words aren't what matters, but rather opening ourselves to God's presence and hearing God's presence and responding to it. That is the point of prayer. The point is to open ourselves to God. It also reminds us of another important fact. Unless any of us speaks and reads biblical Greek, none of us are saying the original Lord's Prayer, right? All of us, whenever we pray the Lord's Prayer with "these and thous" or "you and yours," all of us are praying a translation. A translation created by faithful human beings seeking to take a long dead language and make it come alive for you and for me, people of faith. Now, clearly the preferred version here at St. Mark's, the traditional version, it too is a translation coming from the year 1611 by order of King James I of England. That's what we are used to, right? And then sometimes I foist and force upon you the newer version of the Lord's Prayer, which was translated in the early 1970s before I was born. That's the new one, right? And we notice that we're dealing with a translation. No matter what, this prayer tells us something. It tells us something about God's nature, and it tells us something about our nature as humans. So let's take a moment and listen to Jesus' prayer, to the words that he gives us so that we might connect with his heavenly Father. First off, we start with that word, Father. It's a reminder to us that the relationship we are invited to have with God is relational, loving, and caring. Jesus isn't talking to some distant, angry, and cold Father. He's talking to a person who loves him, who cares for him, who knows every hair on his head. Sometimes this word can be tricky for us. Some of us grew up with fathers who didn't necessarily embody this incredible, warm, nurturing love. But I tell you the truth, Jesus is not talking about a distant father. He is talking about the very best of the kind of love and care which we find in relationship with a mom or a dad. Jesus tells us God is loving and relational and cares for us like a parent for a child. Jesus moves on, "Hallowed be your name," reminding us that God is holy, God is beautiful, God is awesome, God is wonderful, and God's name, even just God's name, has power in it. Every time you've ever glimpsed an incredibly gorgeous sunrise or sunset, seen the waves on the ocean breaking in majesty, every time you've seen a mountain range coming alive with the beauty of the sun, every time we see something that is unspeakably beautiful, we are seeing a glimpse of this hallowed, powerful, beautiful God. Hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, Jesus reminds us, telling us that our goal as people of faith, as followers of Jesus, is not, may my bank account be full. Our goal is not, may I have the best relationship with every person on the face of the earth. Our prayer is not, may I be well respected by all people. Our prayer is that God's way of love, peace, and compassion would enter into us and then enter into the world so that there might be love, mercy, justice, and forgiveness present in the midst of a world that often knows so little of it. Jesus continues, give us today our daily bread, reminding us of two things. One, God is the source of all that we have. Through creation and the very gift of our life, everything that sustains us and holds us up comes from an almighty God who loves us and provides for us. And what's more, Jesus reminds us in this passage that God doesn't just provide those kind of basics at the beginning of creation, but God cares about our daily needs, that daily bread. The little things that we worry about and care about are not too small for our God. God is interested in those daily realities. Then Jesus continues, and it starts to get a little dicey, not only because of his language, but because of what he's saying. He says, forgive us our sins. Sounds good, right? All the places where I've made mistakes, God, forgive me. This is a beautiful picture and reminder that our God is a forgiving God. In Jesus' words on the cross, he embodies this. Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. This is the nature of God, to forgive and to forgive again. But then Jesus really steps in it as he says, for we ourselves forgive everyone indebted to us. That's a little trickier, isn't it? All those old hurts, those old angers, the bitterness, the resentment that can stick with us years and years at a time. Jesus is reminding us that if God is to pour forgiveness and love into our hearts, it actually should help change us and help us to learn to start forgiving as well. I don't think Jesus is all that interested in the forgiveness on behalf of others. I mean, he'll take care of forgiving other people for what they did to me, right? He's interested in me learning how to let go of my anger. Because honestly, every day I walk with it, who's it hurting? Me. You. So as we let God's forgiveness enter into us, we too learn to forgive. Forgive us our sins, for we ourselves forgive everyone indebted to us. Then Jesus moves on, and do not bring us to the time of trial. Jesus recognizes right here what we all know. Life's hard. There is pain, there is struggle, there is temptation, there is difficulty in the midst of life. Hardship exists, right? The 23rd Psalm didn't make it up when it talked about walking through the valley of the shadow of death. Jesus knows that life is marked by these challenges and these pains. And what we ask for in prayer is that as we are connected with God, that we might find God's grace, God's love, God's guidance, and God's strength to protect us and bring us to the other side. Make it so that we don't come to the edge of the precipice, but instead skirt it and find a safe way. That is the Lord's Prayer. It reminds us of a few basics, right? God is holy and powerful, relational and loving. God and our desire for God is all about letting God's love be known in our hearts and in the world. God cares about us. God provides for us. We are forgiven, and then we are called to forgive. And finally, yes, life is hard, and we need God to help us through to the other side. These are powerful and beautiful words which teach us how to listen to and respond to God, which is the very definition of prayer. Listening to God, responding to God. But you know, it's interesting. As Jesus teaches us to pray, he doesn't stop there. He goes on to give a little more advice about a life of prayer, doesn't he? He reminds us that prayer in this relationship with his loving Father God doesn't just stop with us saying the magic words. He tells us that a relationship with God is exactly that, a relationship. And I don't know about you, but I've yet to find a relationship where I say one thing to one person and immediately we have a deep abiding friendship that will last through the ages. Relationships take work, don't they? And what Jesus says to us this morning is keep at it. Don't give up. Seek, knock, search. He promises that in the midst of that seeking, that knocking, and that searching, God will be with us. God will hear and will respond. He doesn't promise that we'll like the response, but he promises the door will be opened. I wonder what it would be for us to take these words to heart, to truly listen not only to the Lord's Prayer, but to his teaching about this intentional seeking of relationship with God on a daily basis. I mentioned earlier that in the prayer book, which is the book that's sitting to your side that we almost never use here at St. Mark's, in the prayer book, you will find the Lord's Prayer showing up in literally every prayer service that exists. For Christians, the prayer book recommends that we are to pray the Lord's Prayer at a minimum 4 times a day. Morning prayer, noonday prayer, evening prayer, and before bed at Compline. 4 times a day. Now, I don't know about you, but I don't usually hit all 4 of those services each day. But I do wonder what it would be like if I practiced this week and in the next week saying the Lord's Prayer morning, noon, and night, paying attention to what in that prayer offers me hope, paying attention to what in that prayer disturbs me or bugs me, paying attention to what in that prayer directs me and guides me. What would it be if we prayed? If we sought to connect with the kind of power and peace and grace that Jesus was experiencing as his disciples watched him pray. To pray and enter more deeply into the presence of God. This week, I really do invite you, try it. I don't care which version of the Lord's Prayer you want to use. I myself will practice it in Spanish, right? But pray. Seek time with Christ. And to make a good start of it, why don't we pray together now? Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.